Introducing The Next Day, the New York Times best-selling book by Melinda French Gates. The Next Day offers a rare window into Melinda's life, including some of her most pivotal moments. This insightful, inspiring book is the perfect gift for graduates and offers guidance for stepping into life's next chapter. You can find The Next Day wherever books are sold.
Merkle Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkle.
And I'm the guest host, Scott Van Auken.
Keep going.
Sorry, okay. This is my first time doing this.
You're totally good. If you have a crazy and wild story you'd like to share with us from the road, or if you'd like to just have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage. Hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just go ahead and get a hold of us. Scott, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line is 515-585-MERK-6375. If you have a short little story to tell us, about 5-10 minutes long, give us a call. If anything over that, send us an email, and Brian here will get a hold of you and get you on the show.
Look at you going. You're like a professional sitting here doing this as a guest host.
Well, I've only been here three times as
that's all right. So you visitor. You know what you're doing. Now tell them about to buy me a coffee.
Well, keep us fueled and buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane Legend.
Very good. I appreciate that. Who are we talking to today, Scott?
I forget his name.
Andrew.
Oh,
you forgot his name. You're the guest host and you forgot
I'm
already.
Sorry, Andrew.
Holy moly.
That's all right. What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
We're doing well. It's good to talk to you. Hey, thanks for coming on.
It's
our pleasure, man. It's awesome. It is so awesome. I was so excited when I saw your email. I was like, that's awesome. That, you know, it looks like there's some interesting things to talk about and all the things you got going on and what you've been into. So, you know, because I haven't talked to anybody who's done the 57-foot roller trailers in California. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. You know, that's a totally different thing. And of course, that's the industry. You know, every day is different. You know, so
yeah. Anytime I bring it up here, when people ask me questions, you know, hey, you know, so what kind of equipment have you driven and this and that, and, you know, and I tell them, oh, you know, my very first job, the equipment that I used was a cab over with a 57 foot roller van.
Uh-huh.
He said, wait, you can drive 57s in California? And I said, sure you can. You know, it's just the extra 5 feet in the nose of the trailer, and it's the same in the back, you know.
Right.
People don't really understand the kind of equipment that you can drive in California.
Are the roads that much bigger out there? Is that why they can actually do the longer trailers, or is it just that's what California allows?
That's just what California allows, man. I mean, I was driving 57 foot trailers out in Los Angeles, downtown LA, and those streets are pretty small. Maybe not as small as other cities, but LA is pretty dense, so it's challenging, and it takes some special thinking to drive those things around town.
Oh my word, I can imagine. I mean, it's enough just driving, you know, doing a 53 foot, you know, dragging it around. I can't imagine doing that. That's a different world, you know.
I even did I remember when my dad took me to the DMV with that 57 foot trailer and that cab over. Everybody looked at me going, "Wait, you're going to do the test in that?"
Wow.
I said, "Yeah." You know, I passed that test first shot, and nice. I think I saw a couple of clappers out there, and they're looking at me like, "Wow, bravo, bro, bravo!"
Oh, I bet that's fantastic, man. Holy cow! I mean, that takes your breath. You know, I mean, that's some freaking gutsy stuff taking your test in something like that. I thought it was enough just doing a 53-foot trailer taking my test. You know.
Yeah, you never see that anymore. Guys taking full length trailers to the DMV to take their tests. It's usually those little, I don't know, what are they, 30 footers or 28 footers?
Yeah, little pup trailers. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, just the bare minimum to get their licenses. They take the bare minimum to get their licenses.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's
that is the truth.
You know. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
they'll
yeah.
either do the pups, or they'll even do the 45s. I've seen quite a few of them.
Yeah, 40, 45s and pups. Yeah. It's the easiest thing to do, but I think it's easier to do a test and do your backing and all that stuff with a 53. You know, you've got less, you know, if you put the tandems where they should be, you know, it's a lot easier, you know, getting back underneath the trailer and doing all, you know, doing what you need to do, backing up and everything. I just think it's easier. I just do.
But, oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, those tandems, the way they're set up, right? I mean, the smallest movement of the steering wheel can move that trailer, you know, a lot slower in the bigger trailers.
Then right.
When driving around those little pups, right? I mean, you turn that steering wheel, and then before you know it, you're already jackknifing. So, yeah, sometimes I always say bigger is better when it comes to equipment.
Yeah, 100%. I have found that to be, even when I did city work, when I was a daytime driver for the LTL industry, I would rather have a 53 than have a 45 any day. Because it's just getting around. I mean, you know, you get the, you know, it's harder to drive in the city, driving, you know, making your turns and all that stuff when you're in, you know, places like North Jersey and all that. But, you know, when you got to back in someplace, to me, it was just so much easier with a 53. But that's enough of me. So how did you get into trucking to begin with? How'd that work out for, like, what was the thing that got you involved in this to begin with? This wonderful, industry we call trucking.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not ashamed of my past, but, you know, I got into some trouble, and
that's all right.
You know, my dad wasn't, you know, I was 20 years old. My dad wasn't going to let me sit around at home all day. And, you know, he says, you know what, you're going to come work for me. You're going to move trailers. My dad owns a little small business, a little outfit of his own. Okay. And he goes, you're going to work for me. You're going to move trailers. You're going to get your license, and you're going to do something. And that's what I did. You know, I moved trailers around for him. I ended up getting my first job right after getting my license here in Chino, California. Okay. And, you know, I got involved in the 57 footers, you know, distributing empty bottles and soda cans for Pepsi, 7-Up and Coca-Cola. That's how they transfer all the empty cans and bottles to those places.
Wow.
And I did that for the most part of my career, about 10 years. I did that, and then I moved over to other things. But yeah, that's how I got started. You know, that was 18 years ago. That was 18 years ago. Yeah,
isn't it amazing how fast the time goes when you're doing something like this? No, and of course, it's like that for everybody. You know, no matter what job you're doing, it, you know, time flies by. But it's amazing how quickly it goes by. I mean, you know, I look back over. I've been doing this for 30 years, 31 years this year, and it's just, you know, it doesn't seem like it's that long. You know what I mean? Like, I raised doing this, you know, it's like crazy, you know, but, you know, because you're busy. I mean, this is a job where you are, you know, you're not, you know, there's not
it's
that
not
many
an office job, man.
It's not exactly. It's not. And it's not one of those jobs that you're just going to do 8 hours and go home. You know, it just the DOT 12, says you can 14, work 14 16. Hours. Yeah, that's it. The DOT says you can. So your company says you're gonna.
That was one thing I didn't know going into it. I started working, and I go, oh man, I'm at 10 hours for the day. Am I going home? No, you still have one more load, man. Go.
Yeah. Like, wait. What do you mean you got 10 hours for the day? You got time yet.
Yeah. And running local, I ran local most of my, actually all of my career. I ran local. Okay. So, you know, it's bumping docks all day long, and it's dropping hooks, and it's different. It's a lot more exhausting. I'm not trying to put down my over the road guys, you know, big shout out to them, obviously, but you know, even sitting behind a steering wheel all day long for 10 hours, 11 hours straight, that's still mentally exhausting.
It is
versus physically exhausting with what I was doing, you know, 'cause I was actually driving, getting out and actually having to hand unload everything on my own because we had rollers inside those trailers.
Wow.
So you know, not only were you driving all day long, you know, in traffic and bumping docks and waiting your turn, you actually had to go into the trailers and hand unload them yourselves to the forklift driver.
Right. Crazy.
And, you know, I did some of that over the road stuff, not too long, but yeah, that's challenging too. Just staring out that window, trying to stay trying to stay mentally busy.
Yeah.
So you can stay alert. That's difficult.
It is
hard.
And at the same time, you know, you're not home around your loved ones. You're not, you know, you're not available to people who, you know, I mean, you're out wherever, you know, you anywhere in the contiguous 48, maybe up into Canada, who knows, you know, you just anywhere. And, I think that's one of the things that for me, I never did. Now, Scott did, over the road. He did, you know, regional, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere from Virginia down, from Virginia up to Maine.
Okay. So yeah. So yeah, when you're gone, you know, like for an LTL guy like myself or, you know, like, but you've been local, you know, at least, you know, you're going to see home at some point. It may not be within this, you know, a regular shift, but you're going to get home. You know, it's a whole different world when you're living in the truck. You know, and I just, my hat's off to those guys too. I agree with you. You know,
I think over the road guys really are the stronger backbone of America, I think, because they get goods from the ports of LA clear across the country. You know, those guys go from say Long Beach to Texas or up into the central parts of the United States, you know, Montana, Michigan. All those areas that are not really easily accessible, I think
I agree.
You get what I'm trying to say there.
100%. Yeah. I mean, they see it all, you know, and they get in everywhere, and they, you know, they don't get the choice of, you know, am I going to have a day cab or am I going to have a huge sleeper and a 53-foot trailer and try and get in someplace in Jersey City or someplace in Montana or, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, I totally agree with you. My hat's off to those guys. It ain't easy. And it's not for everybody, you know.
No.
Thankfully, there are local jobs, you know.
Yeah. Right. And that's all I've ever done. You know, I think I've always been lucky to just have a local job because I think, you know, kind of getting into another part of that over the road atmosphere is the new drivers, right? The new drivers coming into trucking. There's not a whole lot of jobs out there that are going to give you a local job.
Right.
They're sticking you right in the truck and they're saying, okay, cool. You're a line guy now and you're going to go out for whatever, 12 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, and then you'll come home. And a lot of these new drivers out there, I think they're getting hit pretty hard right now with that over the road stuff. And I think for some guys, it might turn them off because they're like, oh gosh, when is this going to end? I just want to be home with my family. I want to be home every night. You know, I think for the younger guys just getting into it, if there's any advice to them, just hang in there, right? Just hang
in there.
Yep. They don't get their, you know, time behind the wheel for a year or a year or two.
Yeah.
And then most companies will take them after that.
Yep. It's just that time, you know, it's like you said, getting that experience. Everybody's looking for experience. Everybody's looking for somebody who knows what they're doing, especially in the LTL industry. You know, they want to put somebody behind the wheel who they feel comfortable with. That's, you know, and that's what that time is for. You know, you learn it and then you move on. You know, you get out of the over, you know, over the road and you find someplace that's local to you. But it's just not easy. It's not an easy, no matter where you're at in the industry, it can be a difficult industry to work in. I mean, it's just because it is going to take your day. You know, it is just going to, it's the way it is. You know, like I said, the DOT says you can work 14 and your company says you're probably going to work 14. You know, if they can make you, if they have the freight to move, you're going to move it. You know, that's just the way it is.
I'm pretty fortunate now where I'm at in my career. I found, I'm hooked up with a really good company now and I'm in food service. I work in food service now and the company I work for, you know, they only believe in the 14-hour day. You know, we don't work past 14 hours. And most of the routes that we bid, they're anywhere between 12 and 13 hours. You know, they try to keep everything under 14.
Yeah.
Just because they want to stay under the risk of having to have a driver work 15, 16 hours, you know, because then, you know, especially with what I do, we work day cabs. They'd have to put us up in a hotel. It's going to cost them more money, if anything. So, you know, I'm pretty happy that I know for the most part where I'm at, I'm not working more than 14 hours every day.
Right.
So yep. Yeah, it's really good.
I heard that every now and then it happens to us every now and then, like if something happens at night, like we're both line haul, both Scott and myself. And when, you know, Shipper's usually here and he's a line haul driver too. So we're all nighttime guys. And the only time we wind up with doing like a 16 hour or laying out is if, you know, inclement weather in the wintertime here on the East Coast is, you know, that's a hit and miss, you know, all winter long, it's a hit and miss. Or if there's, you know, an accident or something that ties up the roadway for a while, like, you know, we're experiencing that today here in PA. On Route 81 out by Harrisburg, you know, there's a heck of an accident out there and the roads are just tied up. It's just red lines everywhere on Google Maps.
Oh, like, wow. And
that's where Shipper is at. He was coming in and it's like, oh, man, it just looks ugly. So,
you know, I spent quite a bit of time out there on the East Coast. My company sent me out to Michigan. I was out in Plymouth. And I was delivering restaurants in Michigan, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York, and what is that other state, right?
Ohio?
Is that Indiana? Ohio? Okay. Indiana? Yeah,
Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, all that whole, like,
yeah, corridor. Yeah, they service all the Taco Bells and everything. Not in that sure. area. So if you ate Taco Bell out there recently, you know, just know that your boy here, just I delivered that stuff.
That's awesome. No,
yeah.
I wonder if he found any of the bottles.
Fast Eddie.
Yeah.
Well, how did you find yourself doing this? Then, you know, doing the food stuff, the food industry part of it.
Well, this is funny because I was working for another company doing home delivery construction materials and you know those orange trucks with the Moffitts on the back. I don't know if you guys are okay with me putting company names out there.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Yeah, totally up to you. We have no problem.
Okay. Yeah. So I used to work for Home Depot home delivery.
Okay.
And I used to deliver just anything that the store sold inside that, you know, they would deliver it to you, but I would drive a 48-foot flatbed with a Moffitt on the back.
Okay.
And so that job was just absolutely stressful for me working in LA. It's just unsafe for me. And it's not that I was inexperienced. It's just how they worked me when I was working there. And it was just, I was absolutely miserable. So I started looking and I ended up finding a friend who worked at this food service company that I'm at now. And so I'll just tell everybody now, I work for McLean Food Distribution. Uh-huh. And probably the best company I've ever worked for.
Awesome.
And yeah, that's why I'm just so happy there. Seriously, I really mean that. I've never said that about any other company I've ever worked for.
That's
seriously.
Great. I really am happy for you, dude. That's awesome.
You know, it's work, but it's good work. I like it. So anyway, I had a friend working there and I just called him up. I remember seeing him posting something on Instagram and I was just like, you know what? I can do that. I said, I can do that. So I just called him up one day and I said, hey, man, you guys hiring? And he says, oh, yeah, we're always hiring. You know, okay, I put in an application that night. I put him down as a referral. And sure enough, a couple days later, their HR department gives me a call. We do an over the phone interview. About another day or two go by, and they offered me a job. And I said, when can I start? And they said, well, when can you start is what they were asking. You know, would you like to put in 2 weeks at your other company? You know, when can you start? And I said, you know, I think it was like a Wednesday or Thursday. I said, I can start Monday, please. Nice. And sure enough, she said, okay, no problem. Just come on down. We're going to have you fill out some paperwork, do some orientation. And we'd really like to extend you a conditional terms of employment.
Wow. And that's great.
I said, great. No problem. And I was out on a route that day working in that flatbed. Uh-huh. I hung up the phone with McLean. Redialed Home Depot. I quit. You guys can find your keys, your cell phone, all your paperwork, the rest of this route in the parking lot back at home. Have a great time with it. You know, I quit. I hung up the phone. is the only time I've ever actually quit a job with no notice, and, right. and I walked away from it and I never turned back. And I'm glad that's a bridge that I didn't mind burning. Yeah. That was definitely a bridge I didn't mind burning. I had nightmares about that job.
Wow.
That's, you know, awesome. And it's not for everybody. Just like what I do.
Sure.
It's not for everybody. That right. job is not for everybody. And I'm big enough to know that job was not for me.
Right.
So yeah, and then I just got into food service, you know, and then I just started. I like it. I enjoy it. I've been doing it for 4 years. We work at night, and you see all kinds of things at night. And I still kind of work in LA.
Yeah,
I still kind of work in LA, you know, and it's a little bit of a zombie land out there. But working nights is always nice for me. And I've always been a night owl. And food service is very labor intensive. But
yeah, very much. So
I'm not going to say I love it, but I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it.
That's awesome. That is, you know, what more can you ask for out of a job? You know, if you can enjoy doing the job you're doing and you make a decent paycheck at the end of the week and the check doesn't bounce, I look at it like, you know, I'm doing all right. Yeah. It's like after all these years in the industry, you know, you just get to that point where it's, you know, you've had the jobs that aren't the greatest. You've had the jobs that, you know, aren't any fun. The jobs that just wear you out and you're just, you know, I think we've all had that moment, you know, where it's like, you know, somebody's offering you a job and you're like, yeah, I'm good. I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Absolutely. What you gotta do. And I never turned back. And the biggest selling point for me was when she told me, we only work 4 days here.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I was sold.
That's nice. Well, so what is your, like, are you work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or does it split up at all for you?
Well, when I first started, before I started gaining some seniority there, yeah, my days, my work days were split up. I was working Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, Friday night, you know, and sometimes they were like splits. Like I would work Monday and then I would work Wednesday and then Friday, Saturday, you know, it just, you know, that's just the way it works in the beginning, you know, till you get, you earn your stripes.
Yep.
And then now I got a really good schedule, you know, and I only work Sunday night to Wednesday night straight. And,
nice.
You know, I'm off Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and I don't get back to work till Sunday. You know, I'm pretty happy with that.
Man, that is awesome. I'm happy for you, man. That's great.
It's a good company, you know, pays the bills, and you know, we're able to go out on nice vacations, and I can still do things. But you know, and that's most food service companies, you know, four days, 5 days with overtime, things like that. I don't sign up for overtime. I don't sign up for overtime, but yeah, it was just a huge change from what I used to do to what I do now. Huge change.
Right. That's good. That's really cool, man. That is, I mean, I can't, you know, flat bedding and doing stuff like, you know, like look what you're doing at Home Depot. I don't, you know, that is a job that it just takes an extra level of patience in my mind to do. And I just don't know if I'd have it, you know, and it's like, you know, being a daytime driver nowadays, it's a whole different world. And I don't think I'd be a good daytime driver. I don't think I got the patience anymore, you know?
Yeah, I guess I
used to do a flatbed for a company in Nazareth, and I will never, ever do another flatbed.
Yeah. No, don't blame you.
Yeah.
Are you there, Andrew?
So.
Did we get a bump?
Flatbedding for home.
We must have.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, we did. I kind of lost you a little bit there. Let's see here.
I don't know. We've lost connection.
I can hear you again.
We lost Andrew.
But I hear him every now and then. So I know he's there.
Yeah. We're coming back. There we go. I think we're back. See here.
Are we still good, Andrew?
It was kind of in and out. Do you guys got me now?
There it is. I see him moving now. Yeah, there you go.
Are we good? We're good? Okay. We're good? All right.
We're back.
We're back. I'm sorry, guys.
A few minutes there. No, it's okay. Listen. No worries, man.
We can edit that.
It's progress. Yep, exactly. That's what we got producers for. They'll take care of that for us.
Yeah, that's Jack.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it. You know, you guys were talking about flat betting. It was the last thing I heard.
Yep.
The difference between what I do now and what I did back then is with Home Depot and home delivery, I was dealing with the general public. You know,
yeah.
When I'm dealing with customers that McLean services, I'm dealing with employees of another company, you know, and it's just so the dynamic of attitude and the way people are is so much different. When I was working at Home Depot delivering, say, you know, I was delivering roof shingles to your house. Mm-hmm. Customers are so much more rude and demanding.
Yes. Because
they think, well, I'm the customer of Home Depot. Do what I tell you, you know, and it's just different. And, you know, you always get those people that, you know, well, they told me you were going to put it in my backyard. Well, this is curbside. And I was always that guy. No, I am leaving it on the curb, or I can leave it on the truck and take it back. Your choice.
I've seen a few videos like that.
Yeah.
I was never rude to people. Uh-huh. And versus now, I'm delivering to customers. And it's just, you know, I walk in, hey, how's it going? Good evening. You know, I hope you guys all have a great day. I'm going to be in the back. I'm going to get started. And they're just like, oh, okay, no problem. Yeah, all right. You know, if you want something to eat before you leave, and oh, yeah, thanks. You know, a lot of our customers, they actually feed us, and they're awesome. You know, they're super nice to us. And, you know, hey, we have leftovers. Do you want something? And oh, absolutely. I'm always hungry. And it's just a different dynamic, man, with different types of people and the different types of customers that you have. And and then I've had other jobs, you know, when I was working my first job was Dirksen Transportation. They had the 57th.
Okay.
And that was my very first job. And then I was at Gardner because they got bought out.
Okay.
Dirksen got bought out by Gardner, and I was there for a very long time and still pulling the 57s. And my brother and I, we used to drive show trucks out of that outfit right there at Gardner down here in Chino. And they sold out and they got bought out by some other company. And
wow.
Then, I ended up doing flatbeds. So let's see here. I think we cut out a little bit there.
Yep. You're good. You're back.
Okay. So, anyway,
it's amazing. Yeah. I think it's amazing. You know, I just do it. It's fascinating. Like, I don't know what traffic is like in California, what it's like in LA. I'm sure. I mean, just what you see on TV, you know, I'm sure it's crazy, you know, and every place has its downtown, you know? So what's it like driving in California like that? Like I've never been there. I honestly don't know, but, how's the driving public?
So people drive really fast out here.
Uh-huh.
People drive really fast out here. I want to say, like, for instance, where I'm at over here near Rancho Cucamonga, where the warehouse is.
Okay.
People tend to drive a little bit nicer, a little calmer.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm about 50 miles from Los Angeles.
Okay.
On the east, I'm east of Los Angeles right now. And people tend to, within the city, people tend to drive a little bit slower, a little bit more calm. Uh-huh. But still a little bit aggressively. As you start heading towards LA, you get into Pomona, you start getting into Baldwin Park. You know, Temple City, you start hitting the 710 out there near LA, Vernon. Oh, it is mayhem. I'm telling you, red lights and stop signs are just suggestions out there. So you really got to be on your toes driving a truck in LA. And you almost, I don't know how to explain this, but when you're driving that truck around in LA, you almost have to have a command presence when you're driving around in LA, letting people know I'm here, I'm the big dog on the road, and you need to be looking out for me.
Right.
Even though, you know, as professional drivers, we need to be looking out for the general public for their safety.
Right.
But it's weird. I think most experienced drivers know what I'm talking about. when the way you drive your truck, the way you approach intersections, it's just an experience thing I'm talking about here.
Yeah,
I think maybe you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's the confidence you have. You know what you need to do, and you're not going to let anybody stop you from doing it. You do what you need to do, because that's the only way you can convey to them, look, this is the way it has to be. I got to do what I got to do, and I'll get out of your way. But I'm going to do it with all the confidence I need to do it, because it's going to happen one way or the other. Yeah.
It's not arrogance.
It's just confidence.
No, it is. It is. And the faster people let me do my job, the faster I get out of everybody's way. A big prime example is, you know, I used to deliver an El Pollo Loco down there on Crenshaw Boulevard in the 10 freeway. And it's busy, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's a small little shopping center, and you got a blindside from the street.
Wow.
And it's still about 6 lanes wide, but 4 lanes wide with a center divider, but you don't have a lot of room. Cars are going through, and sometimes you just got to pull over and just wait your turn and just start sticking your nose out into all lanes of traffic just so you can back into this parking lot. Right. You know, and you make people stop, I guess you could say, and you do it safely as you can, but you just got to stick your nose out there sometimes and just, hey, let me move so I can get out of your way.
Yeah. Because if you don't, you're just going to wind up sitting there. You know, it's just the way it is. And I think most people understand that. Everybody's going to try and push by you the best they can until you just say, no, that's it. You know, we're going to do this, and you're going to have to slow down and just give me a minute, and I'll get out of your way. Like you said, because that's always our goal. I mean, truck drivers don't want to be in anybody's way. We want, you know, at least that's the way I am. I don't want to be anybody's way. I want to be in the right lane. I don't want to be holding anybody up. Don't want to be in your way. Don't want you riding up my butt. Don't, you know. So I want to be out of your way as soon as possible. That's just the way it is.
And that's just the way it is, man. And we don't do things on purpose, you know, that's exactly right. You know, I wish more people would understand, like, hey, you know, that guy's really trying to back in there. Why am I going to crowd him? Just let me back off. Let me give him his room. And in about a minute or two, if that, he's going to be out of my way, and I'm already going to have driven by and forgotten all about it.
That's it.
I think. And in LA, it's really cutthroat in LA. Working at night, it's a lot easier.
Good.
But I feel bad for some of those guys, man, where they gotta, you know, deliver some of these stores during the day. There's other food service companies out there that work during the day. And they just gotta fight it all day long. So if anything, they're probably more mentally exhausted than I am.
Yeah.
Because for me, I work at night. I start around 9 p.m. every night. Oh, okay. I'm usually driving back to the yard about 9 a.m., you know, just 8 a.m. Just, you know, I'm done.
You know? Your day is over, and you're at least, you know, just done on your trip home. So back to the yard and do what you need to do.
That's it. Even though the traffic has started to come alive, it doesn't bother me anymore because the work is done, right?
Yep. That's it. That's it. And that's the beautiful part of it. That's how it is doing line haul. You know, it's the same way we, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, sometimes 8, just depends on where you're going and what your run is for the night. And, you know, by the time you're coming back in the morning, you know, 6, 7, I like to get back like before the 7 o'clock hour. It's just a personal thing for me. It's just, it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah.
But,
you want to make sure you get back in time for your, daytime driver.
Exactly. That, for my city.
Where me, it doesn't really matter because my guy doesn't start until 11 o'clock.
There you go. Yeah. Then you got to worry about whether your truck's going to be back for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So did your dad drove? Your dad drives truck?
Yeah. My dad's actually retired now. Good for him. You know, he sold everything and he hung up the keys and he's retired and he's traveling the world with my mom. And
that's awesome.
But he drove, he's probably driven over 30 years as well.
Nice.
It's a story that I'm really proud to tell about my dad. My dad is probably one of my biggest heroes out there. And, you know, he immigrated here from Mexico and he had absolutely nothing when he was 16 years old. And he started working as a cook and, you know, he started just doing little jobs here and there. He actually worked for the LA Times, one of his first delivery jobs. And he got fired on his first day for delivering papers to the wrong route. First day out, you know, he was just a youngster back in the day. And then, you know, he got his driver's license and became a truck driver. I don't know if you guys remember that old outfit called Mayflower.
Yes.
Yes.
There. Yeah. It's been around a really long time. And yep. Then he was at Golden West, an old over the road place called Golden West. And then finally this man, working at Dirksen, got him a job there. My dad started working at Dirksen, and the owner gave him an opportunity to buy one of those trucks. So my dad said, okay, you know what? I'm going to buy that truck. Then he went owner operator, and then he bought one truck and two trucks. And, you know, before I knew it, me and my brothers were working for him. And, you know, he did very well for himself. He did very well for himself. And my dad was always,
that's always awesome.
Very smart. And then he just sold everything. And on the side, he still sells trucks here and there. You know, he'll buy a truck and he'll sit on it for even a couple months and wait for somebody to come and want to buy it.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, retired 30 something plus years. I can't really tell you how long exactly, but yeah, that's
fantastic. How my dad. Yeah, my hat's off to him, man. That's that takes some doing, you know, to come here to a strange country, you know, a whole other place, you know, and build yourself a nice little business. I think that's great.
He did very well for himself. Great. Yeah, he did. And it was a different time back then. You know, things were a little bit easier, you know, and regulations and things like that were a lot more lenient. And he even tells me, you know, I feel really bad for these owner operators today. I don't know how they do it. You know, I almost had to buy a whole new fleet before I retired because of the Air Resource Board and regen systems and exhaust. And, you know, and living in California, we have some of the most strictest emissions laws in the country. Yeah. And I'm sure there are other states out there too, but I just think, you know, he's like, I don't know. I would have had to spend, you know, $500,000 on all new equipment. And
wow.
It would have been insane. It would have been insane.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Here in Pennsylvania, they will, most companies will only buy the stuff that could be used over there in California.
It does seem to be going that way. Yeah.
So is that a thing, you know, where other states aren't allowed to come here unless they have the emissions or something?
I think they try that.
It is. Yeah. That, from what I understand, just from just reading some of the stuff, like I don't know if it's codified into law that it's at that point now, or if that's coming up that it's like, you know, unless you have this or that, or all the emission stuff, like they don't allow trucks, older trucks that don't have all the DEF stuff and all the emissions and all that. You know, those are all things that you hear. And I don't know for sure, 100%. You know, like, I don't know. That's a good question. It's one of those questions I'm going to have to look into.
Yeah, something for a lot of people to know, right? I mean, I guess if they want to become owner-operators, well, don't become an owner-operator in California, but somewhere else, and then work through California, I guess.
yeah, exactly. But it's a tough, you know, that's a tough world. That's, you know, being an owner-operator. I mean, you have got to, you know, you're moving all the time. You know?
I know guys that became an owner operator 3 years ago. They're not owner operators anymore. You know, and then the whole movement about, you know, stop taking cheap freight and these brokers taking all kinds of percentages off of loads. I mean, I know there's people online, you know, that I've seen on social media. You know, they're openly admitting, yeah, look at this $4,000 load that I got here. We're gonna offer the dryer. We're gonna offer the driver $1,500.
Yep.
2000. I'm going to take half this load from him. And even if he won't take it, somebody else will do
it. I'll find somebody.
Yeah, find somebody else to do it, you know. And I don't think it's right, you know.
And the only thing they've done. Yeah. And the only thing that they've done is just broker the freight. That's all they did. All they did was, you know, somebody contacted them. I've got a load. And all they did was put it out there on the boards and somebody picked, and, you know, and it's all he had to do in order to get that, you know, that money. And that's,
I'm sure there's some honest brokers out there where they're offering 85% of the load, you know, even 80% of the load to the driver, and you know, I wish there were more people like that.
Yeah, because sadly, I mean, when you boil it down, I mean, all the responsibility is on the driver. I mean,
that's it.
Moving the freight, the cost of the fuel, the cost of wear and tear, everything, you know, all of it, it's all on him. So it's not like he's got, you know, extra deep pockets to handle all the extra costs and expenses that go with it. And that's, you know, the game.
I always thought about it. You know, my brother and I, we said, hey man, let's become brokers. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's funny we brought this up. You know, let's become brokers. You know, at one point he was actually looking to get his license, and I said, yeah, man, you know, we can pay a ton of money,
right,
for these loads, so they get covered, man. Even if I only made $100 on a load,
yeah,
I'd be okay with that. You know, I broker out, you know, 4, 5, 6 loads for the day.
Yeah.
You know, and if my percentage was only like, say, $100 for each, I'm good with that. I can survive on that. I don't need to be rich and, you know, I got the Lamborghini in the driveway and I don't need a super big house. And,
right.
You know, we all got to eat, man. And I'm just here, like you said, sitting behind a computer.
Yeah.
Broke, you know, getting the load covered, you know, and yeah, that would be cool
with me. I don't want to become rich at someone else's expense.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where it's costing someone else their livelihood or their ability to take care of their family. You know, that's the bad side of the industry. You know, that's not so good.
Yeah, a lot of it has changed over the years. My dad says trucking ain't what it used to be back. You know, it's not what it used to be. You know, and this kind of, you know, segue into a little bit of driver wages over the years.
Yeah,
they've kind of plateaued, right? I mean, drivers have been making relatively the same amount of money year over year for the last 15 years.
Yep.
You know, with no real major increases for cost of living.
Right.
You know, and yeah, you know, a lot of these companies, they compete with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just my opinion, but sure. You know, they're competing with each other and they're all, you know, cold calling each other's companies and, you know, hey, so I'm, you know, looking for a job there. And I was just wondering how much you pay, but they're really, you know, working at another company, you know, and they're like an executive somewhere and they're all trying to figure out what each one is paying and whatever. And they don't want to pay too much, but they just want to stay right there. Just they wanna evenly just competitive enough. With the same.
Yeah.
Well, anymore, you know,
with each other.
Yep, very true.
Anymore, that stuff is all, you can find it on the internet, how much each company's paying now. So you don't even have to even do the cold call. Say, okay, call up McLean, say, how much are you paying your drivers? I want to get a job there. Oh, okay, thank you. Click. Then you call up US Foods, do the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, you don't even have to do that anymore. It's a click of a couple buttons on a keyboard. And
that's progress.
Yeah,
and you know what? That's called Glassdoor.com. Place right there. I've used that before. And everybody's, when it comes to food service, we're all making relatively the same amount of money.
Right. And it's, you know, that's how it is in the LTL. There's really, you know, most of the companies are paying right around everybody's, you know. And see, this is the thing that's really hard when you think about it. When you talk to some of the older drivers who were drivers in the 70s and early 80s, you know, the one guy that we work with, his name's Randy. He was he started working in 79. He was making the same money in 79 that we're making now.
Wow.
That's how stagnant the salaries have been, how things have dropped and, you know, they're starting to rebound again, but you know, it's how it was, you know, making $1,000 a week in 1979.
That's
you know,
awesome. That, in 1979, that's pretty good. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but now it's
look at that. Yeah, now it's like you have to make twice that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's and that's nature. Just to break even.
It is. Yeah, it's just to keep life going. Yep. So
I barely have enough. I barely have enough to still be able to take my kids and the wife on a nice vacation and do stuff. And, you know, and she has nice clothes for school and the wife can still drive around a nice little car, but wages overall over the last few years, it's just flattened out.
Yeah. Yeah. And, that's it. Yeah.
I remember 100%. Back in the day, my dad would tell me, you know, trucking was one of those jobs where when people asked you, you know, hey, so what do you do for a living? And oh yeah, I'm a truck driver. Oh, wow. You really, and they knew you were making money.
Yeah.
They knew you were making money, you know, truck drivers. You know, you might as well been I don't know what a really good job back in the day is, but truck drivers, man, they were highly regarded back in the day.
Yes.
Way back in the day, you know, especially before me. And I'd like to see that come back someday.
You know, truck drivers were also respected back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
Oh, it was absolutely.
You know, it was one of those jobs that you did and you could, you know, and I feel that way now doing what I do. I mean, I feel very, you know, I'm proud of the job I do, you know, I'm in no way do, when I say this, do I mean like I'm not impressed with the job that we do, because I am. I think it's a great job. And, you know, whenever I get an opportunity to talk to some young guy who doesn't know what he wants to do with the rest of his life, you know, like, get your CDL, you know, I don't know.
Yep.
My son did, you know, he got his CDL. He worked for the same company I worked for a little while, and then podcasting paid more. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey.
I was like, well, you know, good for you, man. Go for it. So.
Well, let me tell you, I'd do the same thing. If I came across something that paid more, you know, versus trekking, I would definitely choose the more, right?
Yep. Exactly.
Especially if I like doing it.
Yeah. That's it. You know, you know, if I enjoyed doing it, like, you know, yes, 100%. But it's just the way it is. You know, it is, it's the nature of the business. It's what we do for a living, and it's how we make our money. You know, I raised my kids doing this, you know?
Oh yeah. 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 You know, I've had that conversation with people before, you know, and maybe they got into a little bit of trouble back, you know, years ago or something. And they don't know what to do with their lives, you know, especially, you know, my nieces and nephews and my cousins, or even just friends. You know, I have friends that just, hey man, this job over here at wherever, it's just not cutting it, man. I said, you know what, dude? We got a program over here at my job. You can, you know, become a helper. And a lot of companies are doing this, actually, not just mine.
Yeah.
You know, but they will pay you to go to school, get your license, pay for your license. And a lot of the time it's just, hey, 2 more years of extra employment with them and you're free to go.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you want.
Yeah, and it literally costs you nothing.
Exactly. And it costs you nothing but time.
Yeah. But your time.
And you made a little bit of money doing it.
Yeah, you got paid.
You know, yeah, you got paid doing it. And I think that's the right, I think a lot of these companies are on the right track when it comes to doing it, because nobody has an extra, what, $4,000-$5,000 laying around?
Yeah.
Trucking school.
And that's on the cheap end.
Yep. And, you know, and some of here on the East Coast, it's $6,000-$7,000. You know,
$1,000.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm in the wrong business. Crazy. See, I got to start teaching these people.
I got to start teaching.
Just for teaching.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard some of these guys getting licenses in less than a week or two.
Yeah.
But, you know, they sign up for these. I think
six weeks if you go straight, and it's 10 weeks if you do it on weekends.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's funny. So the laws must have changed, because when I got my license, it was, all right, go get your permit. Okay, I got my permit, Dad. Mm-hmm. Great. Now, schedule your behind the wheel immediately. Okay, my behind the wheel was literally the following week. So, I'm not even kidding you. My permit to being licensed, I got. Uh-huh. I was fully licensed all within 3 weeks. Like, serious. It was just that fast. You go to the DMV, you pay the fees, you do the written, and then you just schedule your behind the wheel, and you are done.
To be honest with you, that's how my schooling was.
Yeah.
3 weeks. 3 weeks. Your first week, you studied, took your permit test. Second week, you're doing backing. Third week, you're out on the road and you're driving, and then you're taking your test.
Yeah.
That's how it went back. That's how it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, 30 years ago. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a different world now.
Well, I always tell people, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you're still young enough, you know, go, you know, join the military for 4 years. And if you don't want to do that, and get your trucking license. And if you don't want to do that, you know what? Maybe get hooked up with that company, become a helper, work in their warehouse, and then see if maybe it's for you, and you see what's really going on out in the yard with the guys, talk to the drivers, and then maybe you want to become a driver then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just one of those things. Right.
Yeah. We have an advanced program at Pitt.
Apprenticeship. Yeah. They have an apprenticeship. Yeah.
Most of the time you start out on the dock. And then from the dock, you go to a non-CDL vehicle. Then you go up to the Class B and then Class A.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they just kind of like slowly get you into there.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And cool. You know, it doesn't cost you anything. You're actually getting paid while you're doing it. You know, you're actually working. So it's really not a bad deal. They just didn't have things like that when I first started learning how to drive. You know, those things were just not, they were not around. There was not many. I cannot tell you. I don't know. I don't want to say there was none, but I cannot think of one that I knew of. Because if I'd have known of one, you know, would have been a whole different story. You know, I do the apprenticeship program and get paid for it. You know, why not?
Yeah, we do that. You know, you just become a helper, and then they'll send you off to school when it's your time. You know, just everything's seniority. But when your number is up, the offer is there, and they'll send you out there. And what's good is, when you have an opportunity to drive out with me, you know, and say, hey, you know, you're going to take out this new guy. You're going to go out there and show him the job. All right. You know, my job is just to show him how to make the deliveries.
Sure.
And to see. And a lot of the time, you know, they warm up to it. So by the time it's time for them to get their license, all they have to do is just drive at that point. They already know the delivery part right. of it all. And just, yep. it's just driving. And I think that's a huge, huge part when it comes to other companies doing that. You know, they're able to show their employees what the job is. So when yep. they send them to get their license, they're not trying to figure out the job anymore. It's just driving after that.
It's just learning the driving part. And if they've paid attention, they've got some of that down. You know what I mean? Because they're actually sitting in the truck. They're actually there and they're watching the driver, or maybe they're getting out and helping him back up or whatever, you know, just directing him or whatever they need, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's great. I think that's one of those really good things for the industry that the industry has begun to really do heavy, because it's a lot easier for them to train people the way they want them trained when they, you know, so when they get their license, they're working the way they want them to work, you know, which is good. You know, I can't fault any trucking company, any industry that would do that will take care of it that way. That way they're, you know, they know how their employees are being trained.
Also, what's nice about doing it that way is, as they're a helper, they get to see what it's like to be behind the wheel somewhat. You know, they're in a passenger seat. Yep. They get to see and feel what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's not what they want to do. Maybe they'll stay doing a helper, or maybe they'll go back on the dock or wherever. They like that better.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. You know, I've gotten, you know, in the truck with guys before, and hey, man, this is the first time I've ever been in one of these. You know, I've never been in one of these trucks. This is crazy. I've been in lifted pickup trucks, but this is much higher. This is like, how do you see over the hood? And, you know, it's just the way I sit. I'm more relaxed. Mm-hmm. I'm more laid back. You know, I guess you could say I'm a little bit more old school. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, and they just see the way I'm driving, and they see the way everything looks out the windshield, and just, it's just wild for them. And they look at me and they're just like, hey, man, how are you so relaxed? And it's just experience, man. Experience. Yeah, that's all it is.
It's crazy. It's what we take for granted because we're so used to it. You think about it as getting in your car. You don't think about getting in your car and driving. You just do it. And that's how it is. When I first started driving, that's how it was, like this weird transition.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get out of the truck after your first day in school and you get in back in your car and like the steering wheel is really tiny and you're like this little car, you know, and now I just get in the truck and don't even think, you know, you're cognizant of what you're doing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you get in the truck and you turn your brain off. I'm just saying, you know, you get so used to it that it's part of what you do, and you don't, it doesn't have that wow factor anymore. You know, where it's like, oh my word, this is, you're sitting so high, like you're talking. Yeah, you're sitting so high, and all of this, you know, it's just kind of neat. Yeah,
it's just another day, man. It's like riding a bike.
Yeah, and people are wild. People, it is funny when I have conversations with people. One of the things I get from people all the time is, how in the world do you drive one of those things around town? It's just like driving a big car. You just do it. You know, you don't think about it. You just do it. You know.
You know, and us local guys, we say it all the time, man. Hey, man. How do you drive that thing? I say, we drive these things like cars, man. You just learn. You build your confidence. You know how fast you can go around turns, and you learn how hard you can hook a truck, you know, to get your trailer to come around so you can back into a driveway, and you just learn how to just whip these things around sometimes. Experience, you know, and you know what you have, you know, in your trailer isn't going to tip over because, you know, you've hauled this stuff all the time and you know what it can do. You know, your straps and your load locks and you just know. It's just one of those things that comes with experience, right?
Yeah, you just 100%. Know. Yep, that's it. It comes with doing it. It just comes with having to get into, and that's probably the hardest thing, is getting somebody to understand that, yes, you can. This is a skill. This is not a talent.
Yeah.
This is a skill. And you'll learn how to do it, and anybody can learn how to do it. And you learn the skill, and you just hone that skill, and you get good at it. You know,
I actually participate in the trucking rodeos out here with my company and at the state level. Uh-huh. What was it? The flatbed. I participated in the flatbed this year over here at the state regional. And I came in 11th out of like 25 drivers. for that's the flatbed, awesome, which I was like, all right, you know, that's not too bad, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I wish I was top 10, but you know, I was like, you know what? I guess being a little bit better than half the drivers isn't too bad.
Exactly.
And then over here at the company level, well, I don't even know what place I came in, but I think I did pretty good. You know, still scored some good points, but I always like to, show off my skills, and I always like to hone my skills. And even just the other day, I started, you know, blindsiding. I've always been a blindsider. I always loved doing it, you know, you know, just showing my trainee in the truck, you know, hey, you can do this too, you know, and just more to kind of impress my trainee, I guess you could say, sure. You know, show him, hey man, check this out, bro. You know, yeah, exactly. Right. Heck, hey man, check this out, bro. And then you get in there and he's just like, wow, that was smooth, bro. You know, that was smooth. And I'm just like, yeah, man, listen, you can do it too, man. Practice. And, you know, even though I didn't have to do it, I still did it because, you know, I'm always practicing every single night I get out there at night. You know, I'm always practicing. You know, you never know what you can do unless you try it, right?
That's right. And that's why it's really cool. You went, you know, you joined the rodeo and you went in and you, that's awesome. You know, you had the guts. I mean, nobody has any right to look at you and say anything because you're 11 out of 25. You had the guts to go and to put your name out there and to put yourself in it and be involved. I think that's fantastic. That's how I feel about it. It's like, I think that's just awesome. Kudos to you, man. That is fantastic.
Yeah,
you wish more drivers would. I mean, here I am. I don't compete in the rodeo, but I'm excited for guys that do, you know, it's I think it's great. I really do. It's something that more guys should do.
Yeah. More and guys, it's fun.
Women,
you know?
Men and women in the industry, you know, I think it'd be great. It's good for your own personal confidence level. You know, absolutely. You know, it's great. I think it's really great. How'd you feel about I guess they do, like, I don't know if all of them do it the same here in PA. They do like a written test and then you go do like a pre-trip inspection type of thing. And then the driving part and all that. I didn't know how they did it out there. I was curious.
At the state level, it's pretty much just the obstacle course. You just drive.
Okay.
And that was it. Now at the company level that we did, we did a written test, a pre-trip, and then you do the obstacle course. So,
okay, cool.
So I guess the written test is more to eliminate ties, I guess. Sure.
Yeah, it gives them something else to score on. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That's really
cool. That's how we did it here at the company level. And I think it was our first one that we've had in a long time. So the company is really like, you know, into teamwork and skill building and building that camaraderie with us, you know, and doing more for the drivers, you know, give them something fun to do every once in a while. And
that's awesome.
I really enjoy it. So that's how I do it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm really glad. I'm glad you did it. I'm sure you're glad you did it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it something that you see yourself doing? Next year or whatever? Like, do they do it every year? Does your company do it every year?
Yeah, they do it every single year. And I sign up every single year. Well, good. I'm going to sign up for sure for the state competition. I'll definitely be signing up for that again. And
awesome.
I'll definitely be signing up for the company rodeo as well. It's just something I like to do. I don't know why, you know, but it's just something I really enjoy doing. And I like to know how I stack up against everybody else.
Now, you know, how many have you done?
So I've done two state level competitions. And I bombed the first one. I bombed the first one. I was so nervous. It was my first rodeo ever. So I don't even think I even made the point scale on my first rodeo.
Dude, you gave it a shit. You were there and you showed up.
Yep. And then I did back to back years. Yeah, I did back to back years. So I did pretty good this time. My nerves were a lot better. And then I've done one company level competition. So total three rodeos.
Awesome.
So looking to do a whole lot more for sure. And I know guys, they go in as cool as a cucumber. And I'm, hey man, so what's it? Oh, this is like my ninth rodeo, man. This is like my ninth or tenth rodeo. And are you serious? Yeah, bro. It's nothing, man. It's just driving, dude. It's just driving. Man,
yeah.
I want to be cool like that. I still get a little nervous.
Of course. But you know what? Sometimes that's really good, is that it keeps you on your game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like for myself, I find myself, if I'm not nervous about something, I will not put as much into it. And that's just me. I mean, that's just how I am. But I think it's really cool. And this year we actually, the show Hammerland Legends, we did the rodeo that our company does. We were actually able to go and video and do all, you know, just interview people, talk to people. So my son, the producer, is still working on getting the video together. He's working on it in between other projects. So it's taking forever to get it done, but it will eventually be out. You know, people at work keep asking, well, when's the video coming out? I don't know.
I'm not in charge of it, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's out of my hands. I was there just to do it. And now it's like, you know, but it was, that's what turned me on to it, was that, you know, just going and actually interviewing and talking to drivers, you know, video and watching the competitions and all the things that were going on. And it was just fascinating. I was really taken by it. I was like, that's really cool. And you start to think, yeah, maybe I should try that. You know, after 31 years, maybe I ought to give it a whirl, you know?
It's just one of those things you just do, you know, you just sign up and say, you know what, if I do all right, I do all right. If I sucked, and we'll try again next year if I can, you know? Right.
It's a learning experience, you know? Yeah. It's just great. It's great for you. And it's a great confidence builder, you know?
Well,
like anything else, if you keep trying it, you'll succeed.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to be able to win it one of these days. And they do the main championship out in Florida. I would love to win it. You know, I'm going to Florida and company paid vacation, take the wife and kids out there and, you know, see how I stack up on the nation.
Yeah.
You know, this is just California, but I'd like to see how I stack up when it comes to the entire nation. Yeah, that would be really cool. Awesome.
That would be very cool, man. If you do it, we'd love to have you back on and just talk to you about that. If you go to Nationals and all that stuff, that'd be so cool. That's, you know, because I think it's neat.
We'll find out next year, right?
Yeah,
we'll
find out next exactly. Year. You know, it's cool. It is a cool thing.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you guys wanted to talk about how what I do actually for a living now, like how we do it. I thought maybe I could talk about my current job a little bit.
Sure. That's what the show is all about. It's all about you and what you do and how you do it. And 100%.
I've been trucking for 18 years, right? And I've done a whole bunch of, you know, different things, flatbeds and roller vans, and I used to deliver ice cream for Hub Group, and now I'm in food service. Mm-hmm. And working food service is completely different from anything else trucking, right? I mean, I'm delivering in parking lots, and things are at night. You know, and the unknown lurks in the darkness, right? And
yes, it does.
And you're out there all alone, and sometimes you have a helper, but most times you don't. And you're out there all alone. You're alone with your thoughts, and you're physically active all night long, right?
Right,
right. You're physically active all night long, and sometimes we like to say, you know, I get paid to work out all night, and I'm delivering 50 pound cases of chicken all night and things like that. And that's what the job is. Working for food service. And I think a lot of guys, or I think the general public, I should say, the general public really doesn't understand what it takes. What it takes to get food from wherever it's coming from, right? Because they don't know where it's coming from. They just know when they go and they order that fast food meal, it comes out the little window and they're eating it. Right.
That's it.
But I don't think a lot of people actually know, well, how did that food get into that restaurant in the first place? You know, who delivered that? You know, and I'll deliver about seven to eight stores a night, and at night, empty parking lots, all alone, I don't really think people know that, I make videos from time to time, and I post them on my social media, and
cool. It's like,
well, this is how your food gets delivered, and I deliver for Denny's and another great restaurant that I like to go to, and really good customer to have. And, you know, same thing, man. I'm out there in the parking lot, you know, 700, 800, you know, sorry, 400 or 500 different, you know, cases of food.
Wow.
You know, and your everything from your pancakes to your everything, just all of it. And, you know, it's just physically demanding, which is why we only work 4 days. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just a different part of the job than just bumping dots, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not a fuel, you know, I don't deliver fuel or, right. or, you know, special commodities like maybe, you know, people that deliver feed to the farms and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, this is trucking with a labor part of it, right?
Yeah, very much
it's
so.
It's not just driving and, you know, I think it's special. I think it's special to me. And, cool. I'm very proud of what I do. I'm very yes. proud of what I do because I feel a sense of accomplishment uh-huh. after I deliver all that food and I say to myself, you know, well, America's fed for one more day, you know, and then tomorrow I come back and I do it again. And America's fed for one more day. Yep. And my brothers and sisters out there delivering food all across the country, mind you, yep. they're all across the country doing this, running up and down ramps, back of lift gates, and we're all servicing. And it doesn't matter. Whether it is raining, snowing, yep. heat, the cold. I mean, we are out there delivering this food, no fail. I mean, the roads yeah. literally have to be closed for us not to deliver something.
Yeah.
And that goes for a lot of other different delivery jobs.
Sure.
But I mean, how much more important can it be than getting food to restaurants, you know, yes. a lot of people don't go to the grocery store anymore, but like our job, I think is so special because who doesn't eat out anymore these days?
Right.
Right.
100%.
So I don't know. That's just my little 2 cents on food service. You know, I think it's just, so,
I think
so
it's special. Awesome. It is. It's a very specialized industry and it's a necessary. And I mean, think about what it'd be like if people had to go pick up their own groceries. You yeah. mean like go to all the purveyors and pick up all of their groceries? I mean, yeah. you know what I mean? Like it is something that we take for granted. And yeah. like
and
you said,
gas
you know,
stations too.
Yeah. I mean, it's something you have to, it has to be delivered. It has to be there for people to, and so no matter what the weather is, like you said, no matter what it is, it's got to get delivered.
Yep.
People got to eat. 100%. That's what it's going to be. You know, people are going to eat. They have to. Yep. So yeah, what you do is fantastic. I think it's really great. I think it's really cool. It is a very hands-on. Every case is handled. You're dealing with it all. You know, so you deal, you know, 300, 400, 500 cases, whatever it is. You've touched each one of those and moved it.
Yeah, and that's just one store.
Yeah, that's just one store. Yes.
You know,
100%. Yes. So,
and you know that could be for a larger store, but you know for the most part, you know I'm driving. I mean, for me personally, I'm driving around mm-hmm. 110 miles a day. I have 7 to 8 stops. I have 1,100 cases in the truck. And, you know, and I got to deliver all that. I mean, it's literally an entire 48-foot trailer full of food. And it's empty by the time I get back to the yard. Like, it is just empty.
And it's all hand unload.
And it's all hand unload.
I never forget that, man. I did that when I first started. I did a little bit of it when I first started driving, and you touched every piece of freight.
Yeah. Sometimes you get pretty good with that dolly, and I can kick stuff off, and I got 5-6 boxes on there, and I'll just run that in like that. But I like to say this job is not for everybody. And some people find out on the first night, you know what? I can't do this. Yeah. And they quit.
I'll tell you what job I found out was not for me was moving. I did that for 3 days, man.
I remember my first night. I was sore. I was so bad.
I never worked so hard in 3 days freaking loading somebody's house and unloading somebody's house. I was like, this ain't for me, dude. My hat is off to guys who do that. My hat is off to anybody who does this for a living and touches everything. When you're loading somebody's house, you're touching everything. You're moving all of it. When you're doing what you do and you are touching every piece of freight that's on your trailer to move it from your trailer to inside the store. Because it's got to get used. Yeah. That's just the way it is. And my hat is off to guys like you who are hands-on. I mean, I'm at a point now where I'm just driving from terminal to terminal. I'm dropping and hooking.
I love it.
I'm on my way to the next.
Moving houses has to be pretty difficult, too. I mean, you even have to be more careful when you're moving things around. And that takes more energy.
Could you imagine breaking an antique mirror?
I mean, the thing you have to think about when I did it, it's like something I didn't think about because this is like 30 years ago. I'm like, okay, I can do this. I'm a kid. I'm young. You know, I can do this. And it's like, you remember what it's like when you moved into your house and you're like, I'm not ever moving again.
Yes.
That's every day. I don't know how those guys do it. I mean, like Tom Lloyd, he's one of the guys that we've interviewed. He does that for a living. And I'm like, dude, and he's, you know, he's not a young guy anymore. You know, and you just think to yourself, man, I don't know how you do it, man. My hat's off to you. And just like what you're doing, you know, I don't know how you do it. Like I've got an artificial hip now. I don't know if I could even, you know, climbing in and out of the back of a truck is not that easy anymore. You know, it's just the way it is.
You know how I do this every night. It's nothing short of a miracle sometimes.
I believe it.
And I think about my wife and kids and I'm still young. You know, I'm 39 years old now. I'm still young enough to do this job. You know, I'm not in the greatest of shape, but
the truckers aren't.
I mean, most truckers aren't, right. But I'm still physically able, you know, that's both awesome. My knees still work. My back is fine. My neck feels good. And you know what, I guess what I like to tell the guys, you know, especially the ones just coming in, is as you warm up and you get going, it's just routine. It's just a rhythm and it's easy after that. You know, you just got to get going, you know, just get your head down, get to work and just keep moving. You know, don't think of the work as, oh man, you know, I still have
mind over matter.
It's mind over matter for sure. Yeah. So I always tell people, hey, listen, it's just work. Don't think about it. Just do. And you'll be just fine. Advice. And you'll just be fine. Really
good. Yeah. One of my first jobs was on a smaller scale than what you're doing. I used to deliver milk to, you know, little gas stations and restaurants and things like that. So I know what you're saying, you know, going up and down that ramp. When they gave me the truck that had a lift gate, I was happier than pig and you know what.
Nice. And I'm sure you had a lot more stops than me too.
Yeah, but I didn't have as much stuff to pull out. You know?
Oh, okay.
I might have like 300 cases total where you got that at one stop. You know?
I
used to see U.S. Foods come to the schools and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching them going up and down that ramp. Like it's nothing, you know, with 30, 40 cases on it.
At a shot.
I know. Yeah, at a shot.
That's what I'm like.
You know, he's doing almost anymore, the same amount of weight on that hand truck than what I'm doing on mine. And I only got 5 stacks of milk crates on. You know what?
I work a lift gate, man. And I always take my hat off to those guys running those ramps. Yeah. That right there. Not only is it dangerous running up that ramp, man, but that's hard on your knees.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, because you're not just running down that ramp. You got to run back up. You know, and I was just like, wow, because I've done ramps in the past before. And I just thought to myself, I'm going to die doing this. Oh, my gosh. It takes a special person to run ramps just in and of its own.
And by the time that's you got to your 4th stop, pulling it out and then putting it up on the clips on it, and it's like, oh my God, your arms feel like jello.
Yeah.
That ramp ain't light either.
No.
That's a job. But I always take my hat off to those guys running ramps, man. Because at McLean, we still run ramps. Some of our centers still run ramps. And I was in Michigan, and I ran some ramps there while I was there, and it was kind of humid, actually, hot and humid in Pennsylvania not too long ago. About a month ago, right?
Yeah, that's normal. That's normal PA weather, hot and humid. That's it.
Is that what that is?
Yeah,
when that was really hot here, I was down in North Carolina on vacation.
Yeah, just enjoying it.
And it was quite humid.
You know, and the one thing I really did like about running ramps, though, was you can make the deliveries a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah.
You're not bringing pallets off the truck. You know, you're just going into that trailer, grabbing your boxes, bringing it down, in and out, in and out, in and out, and you're done. So, but yeah, I run lift gates now, and I always tell everybody, you know, when I get back from these company trips, you know, hey, we're spoiled here, guys. We're not running ramps. Our deliveries are so much easier. Our pallets are so much nicer than some of these other DCs, you know, because, you know, different DCs across the country, they work differently. But I always tell guys, man, we are spoiled here. Don't take what we have here for granted. Stop complaining. It's good here.
That is one of the things that you... Now, truck drivers just love to complain, you know. They will find us, you know, no matter what it is. We all do it, you know. We're all find the thing that there is to complain about. But it's, you know, honestly,
it's part of the process of coping.
It is. It is. And if it was, you know, if it really was as bad as we make it sound, like, we wouldn't be doing it. You know, no, it's just the way it is. We enjoy it. We enjoy doing what we do.
Yeah.
And
we love our checks.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's, you know, the paycheck is there and it doesn't bounce at the end of the week. I'm good.
Now,
there's always work.
Yeah.
Do you guys have the removable bulkheads where you can separate the from, like, have frozen too?
Yeah. So the we have a multi-compartment trailer. And so, you know, you got that. Yeah, we have the freezer, refrigerated, and dry section. But our dry section is mixed in with the refrigerator because it's okay if it gets cold. It's not a big deal. You know, cups, plates, napkins, things like that.
Right.
But yeah, we have those big orange bulkheads. Yeah. So, you know, the main part of the trailer is all 34 degrees. Yeah. No, ours doesn't have the window. But it's wall. It's just a solid wall. It's made out of like a hard foam type thing. Anyway, the main trailer is all 34 degrees, but when you remove that bulkhead, it's 0 degrees in there.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, it's nice. The best thing in the world, right? And, you know, that's how we're able to separate our frozen area from, you know, the refrigerator.
Yeah, we did the same thing when I deliver milk. Yeah, we had where it was removable. And I loved it in the summertime. Whenever I had to go in there and get ice cream out, you know, I'd sit in there and like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a fun story here for you real quick. So I actually ended up breaking down one time with an old partner of mine. We run team routes. So that's a 2-driver route going to the Las Vegas out of Rancho. And we broke down. We broke down on the way to Las Vegas.
Wow.
We blew a radiator hose. And, you know, can't run the truck. We got no air conditioning. And it started getting hot. It was about 85 degrees at like 3 a.m.
Wow.
You know, and it's only getting warmer as the dawn approaches and that sun's going to start creeping its big, ugly head at us.
Yep.
And I just, oh, man, it's too hot. Okay. I'm cracking that back door open and I'm standing in the reefer. I'm standing in there for a little bit because it's just getting hot. You know, and it's just getting hot. And my partner, same thing. He goes in there and we sit on the chemical pallet that we have, you know, just bleach and stuff like that. We just sit there. All right. We're too cold. All right. You know, let's hop out. Let's just hop out for a little bit, you know, and then, you know, we can hang out here for another hour. Yep. Back and forth, just in and out of that trailer, man.
That's great. That's the way to do it, man. That's the way to do it.
You know, and I guess we're fortunate, right, to have that refrigerator trailer. Because can you imagine just broke down out in the middle of the desert and it's getting hotter and it's getting hotter and it's getting hotter.
Yeah.
It's not like anybody's stopping and bringing you water, right?
Nope. Exactly. And the temperature's not stopping going up. You know, I'm sure it's going to hit 100, 110, 120, whatever it gets to, you know, and there's no escaping it. So
that's
the best thing to do is climb in the back, man. Just enjoy that freaking cool air, you know?
Yep. That's all you can do. And just wait. Yep. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, Andrew, I really appreciate you coming on and talking with us. Just hang on with us as we kind of sign out, and we'd love to invite you back on again if you ever want to come back on.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We'd love to have you on again. You were a great guy to talk to. It was really a lot of fun. You're not afraid to talk. I had a great time. I hope
I can talk about anything. I had a great time.
It was really good. It is really, and it was nice to have Scott in as a guest host today.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that.
It was nice to meet both of you.
It was our pleasure. It really was. And man, we, like I said, anytime you want to come back on, you just let me know. You got, you know how to get a hold of me, and we'd love to have you on. We hope we enjoyed ourselves. We hope everybody enjoyed themselves listening to this show. And Scott, do you know what to say here?
Share the show.
Share it
with your friends. Share it with your enemies, as Shipper would say.
There you go.
Share it with anyone that you can.
You got that right. Just share the show. And keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane.
There you go. That's it. Thank you, Scott. And thank you, Andrew. You guys take care. And everybody out there, take care.